Classic.
Internet.
No delay.
Debut album.
What is it?
Unbelievable.
Sunny days.
Eartraining.com.
David Lucas Burge Ear Training Library for Musical Excellence. The Perfect Pitch Ear Training Super Course. Masterclass 13, Inner Ear Meditation. In this session, David Lucas will guide you on an inner ear meditation. You'll learn solo techniques that you can practice all by yourself without the need of a partner, which will help you to more rapidly gain perfect pitch. While listening to this session, have your own keyboard, guitar, or other main instrument at your side so that you can actively participate in the instructions. Vocalists may sit at the keyboard. Because you will be involved in the session directly, we recommend that you refrain from driving or other distractions so that you can focus your full attention on the subject matter. I can see that David Lucas has just now entered the studio and is now ready for your session.
Beautiful tone. Tuning is fair. It'll be fine. Solo practice requires a greater level of expertise. This perfect pitch training is much more than just playing a note and then identifying what it is. And if we get it wrong, then we correct it. That's the basic practice. But if we're going to do something by ourselves without that partner there, then we need to have a little finer understanding of the process here. Years ago, a very great teacher impressed upon me the principles of effortlessness. And for the past so many years, as I've been teaching this perfect pitch ear training, I have incorporated these principles and adapted these principles into all the color hearing technique exercises. It's a very important understanding. We're going to call it the principle of easiness. You've heard it so many times in these tapes. We just take it easy. When we're developing the ear, we don't force the ear. We just gently lead it to what we want it to hear. If we try to force, we try to hear something we're not sure of, then that just results in a headache. And we don't want that. And we don't want to be frustrated. We don't want to become one of these individuals who come up to me every now and then and they're frustrated because they're so intellectual that if they're a little flat or a little sharp, they don't feel the results are proper. Or if they make a mistake, they're all frustrated that they made a mistake. Well, obviously, we're going to make mistakes while we're in training because that's why we're doing the training. But we never worry about it because even long before we have that color hearing established, the results are there. And that result immediately is going to be that we hear more clearly. When we hear tones in music, they're somehow a little bit more clear, a little bit more crisp in the ear, so that everything we're hearing immediately starts to become a little bit more in focus. This is one of the results of perfect pitch ear training, even long before those colors become totally vivid and we can identify the actual pitches. So we don't worry about getting the results too fast. The results are there immediately, but that doesn't mean that immediately we can identify all the tones on the entire keyboard or fretboard. So we want to keep in mind, though, this principle of easiness. We're developing our perception, and that's sort of almost in the area of psychology, because It's not like a typical music training where you're playing scales or working with your fingers to produce a certain sound. You're actually developing the perception of that sound. So it's a very, very delicate process, and I'd like to go into it with you in a little more detail right now. We have to work the ear to hear the finer values of the tones. We have to work it to make the tones stick in the ear and bring out the colors clearly. Now, at first, they're not clear. We might not even understand these colors, but we're going to talk about these colors. It's like one of those color charts. Have you ever seen that at the store where you have to choose a number of different paints or maybe a number of different inks? And there's many, many different colors there, and we have to learn the names of all those colors. But we've really got it easy, because even though there's 88 keys on the piano going all the way up, there's really only 12 colors and different tints of those colors. Every C-sharp has the same color. So we've got it a little easier. What we have to do is learn how to listen. Here's what I'd like you to do. I'm going to play this tone, and just listen to it. Now close your eyes and listen to it. Now, I'm going to play it, listen to it, and then I'm not going to play it, and just think it inside. Just hear it inside your mind. Now just listen to it inside your mind. Now listen to it again. Now listen to it inside your mind. Imagine it. Feel that tone. Feel it. Now we're starting to listen to the finer values of this tone. This is a C, it's middle C. Usually, music goes by so fast that we just simply do not dwell on any one tone for very long, so we get this horizontal hearing. We don't really spend much time listening vertically inside. When we're talking about color, it means getting down in there and hearing some quality to it, or we can even say some feeling. This is what I want to emphasize on this tape here. It's a feeling. The C has a certain feel to it, and if we just listen to it and then think it inside our own mind, hear it inside of our mind, and just become intimate with that tone, gently. We don't try to think it real clearly, we just let it be gently in our imagination, and we feel that tone, and that is a C, and we know it's a C. This is perfect pitch color hearing technique, an advanced technique for this, because we're allowing ourselves to directly go into that tone and feel it. See, when we go to the D and do the same thing, listen to that tone, and then think that tone inside, and then play it again. Think it inside. Feel that tone. Then we start to notice, as we keep doing this, that the tones have a different feeling. But in order to feel this difference, we have to kind of get that tone inside of ourselves. If it's too far out, it's way out here on the piano, way over there, then you don't hear it as well. But when we put that tone inside of our own mind and just feel it, gradually these tones will become more and more individual. They all start to gain their own different personalities. So this is what I'd like you to do. Take your own instrument right now, whether it's piano or synthesizer or guitar or whatever it is, and play a C. Doesn't have to be a concert C. It can be a C on your own instrument. Play that C and listen to it. play it again, and listen very carefully and easily. Let the note come to you. Don't you go to the note. Let it come to you and just listen to that tone. Play it again. Now, just imagine that tone. Just feel that tone, however it feels to you. You know it's a C, and just feel this is a C. Now play the tone again. All right, now we have just listened very carefully to a single tone. What have we really done? It's so simple. It's almost childish. But what we're doing is we're allowing our mind's awareness to be fully on a particular pitch, which is this C. This is a highly remarkable thing we've just done, because usually when we're listening to music, it's very rare that you would ever focus all of your attention very easily and effortlessly on one tone and leave it there. Normally we're all over the place, a million notes all at once and everything like this, and there's just no time to dwell on any one tone. So this is a remarkable thing that we've done, because now we're allowing the ear to get absorbed into that one sound. Now let's do the same thing with a D. Very gently, play the D on your instrument and just listen to it easily. Play it again. Now imagine what that D sounds like without it sounding at all. Now play the D so you can hear it. Now imagine the D again without the D sounding. Feel the feeling of a D. You say, I know that this is a D, and just feel it deep inside. Feel what that D feels like. We're not going out. We're allowing that D to settle inside of us and feel it. Now play the D. Now, can you remember what a C felt like? Sure, I know that you can go down a whole step. That's simple, but that's fine. Go down a whole step and feel a C without playing it, and hear that C in your mind. Now play the C. Were you right? I'm sure that most of us can get that C just by relative pitch. That's fine. The important thing is that once we do get the pitch, then we imagine it and feel it again. Let our mind just be easy with it and play the C to see if we were correct. This is how the ear is starting to become cultured. The inner ear is starting to become cultured. The inner mechanisms of color discrimination. Remember, color is inside. It really doesn't exist in the outside world, because the only difference between all these tones is one vibrates slow and one vibrates fast. It's just like in light. One light wave vibrates slow, one light wave vibrates quickly. They're really all the same. It's just that somehow the eye sees them as different colors. Those colors are in our eye, not really in the objective world. And it's the same way here. These pitch colors are inside of us. So by practicing this simple little drill, like what we've just done, we help to allow that inner ear to start absorbing the values of these colors, so that later on we're going to start to be able to discriminate between them more clearly. See how delicate this is? Now let me tell you what will just ruin the whole thing. That is if you try. If you sit there and fight with these notes, and you say, oh, let me hear that color. Let me feel that color. Let me get in there and just, I want to establish this perfect pitch quickly. That would upset the entire process. That's why we're sitting here doing this very relaxed and very unhurried, because any straining will not allow that note to settle down and will not allow us to hear that color clearly. Very important point. We constantly get back to it. The principle of easy listening, the principle of easiness. Now, what we'll do, if we're a pianist, it would be a good idea to practice this drill just on the white notes at first. We can listen to the C for a little while, and then get the D, then get the E, get these various flavors of these notes. They all have a different flavor, a different feeling to them, just by gently hearing them. Later on, when we feel that we know all the white notes pretty clearly, we can start going back and forth between them. Think of the feeling of the C, and then think of the feeling of the G, and imagine that G inside your mind and just feel it. And then sing it. La. And play to make sure you're correct. And once again, don't be one of these people that says, oh, I was a little sharp, or I was a little flat. No. Don't even be concerned about if you're sharp or flat. That's not the issue with perfect pitch. This is such a misunderstanding. Perfect pitch does not concern itself too much with if something is sharp or flat or high or low. It's all color. If the color discrimination is super excellent, then you will be able to keep your sharpness and flatness very clean. And if the color discrimination is not quite as good, then it will be a little blurry and you might be a little sharp or a little flat. But we don't care about that, because we're not concerned if we're right on the G or a little sharp. All we're concerned about is that we hit the range of the G and then we're satisfied. Because the longer we practice these little techniques, the cleaner the awareness will be, and then the more accurate we'll be. So we don't care about hitting that G exactly. We think of that feeling of the G and then sing it. La. And we play it to see if we were right. Then we might go to another note, the B, and we kind of feel that in our mind. How does a B feel? Now, what if we can't think of the feeling of a B? Then we go to it through relative pitch. You can use your minor sixth to get down to it, or you can use a major third to get up to it. It doesn't make any difference. But somehow find that note. And once you get to it, then maybe you'll feel that the B has a certain flavor to it. La. And you just feel it deep inside yourself. And then you play that note to see if you're right. And it's as simple as that. Go back and forth between all these notes. Here, to here, to here. And each time feeling and each time listening. And this is the way the ear will start to feel these colors more clearly. Then, when you do all the white notes, you can go to the black notes and do them the same way. Then you can start going back and forth between white notes and black notes. Like that. So that you start to culture the full range here. Now, if you're a guitarist, we don't work with white notes and black notes. We just work with chromatic tones on a single string. For instance, you may take your D string and then work on all the chromatic tones on that D string going up. You don't have to go the whole way up the fretboard, but just maybe part of the way up, and use them for a while. Feeling and singing them and imagining them. This is the technique here. See how simple this is? The best time to practice this mental kind of thinking of these notes is in the morning, when your mind is clear. A clear mind is very essential to developing our senses. If the mind is not clear, we're fighting in order to hear. But if we practice with an easy attitude and the mind is fresh, like when we first get up, then you'll gain the maximum from this. Now, I want to talk a little bit more so that you can see some other angles here, and then you'll be on your own. You'll be able to adapt these any little which way. See, there's just no set recipe for ear training. It's just a few principles, and once you understand the principles, and most importantly, once you understand the delicacy of the process, then you're in control of your own practices. So let's just talk a little bit more here. And let's play a C again and listen to it. Here we go. Play C. Play it again, listening gently. Let the tone come to you. Close the eyes and continue listening to it. Play it again. All right, now just imagine that tone. Feel that tone. Play the tone again. All right, now imagine a C sharp, even though you haven't played it yet. Go up one half step and just imagine what that C sharp would sound like. Can you get it? Now sing the C sharp. Okay, now play the C sharp and see how accurate you were. Don't worry if you were a little bit off. As I said, as long as it was in that range of a C sharp, then you did it fine. Now let's work with the C sharp. Play the C sharp. Play it again, listening gently. Now imagine that C sharp. Feel that C sharp. You know it's a C sharp. So just imagine it, knowing that all that you're thinking is C sharp. Do you feel some kind of difference between that C sharp and the C? Don't try to pinpoint it. Don't try to clearly think, oh, well, the C is a certain way and the C sharp is another way. What I'm asking you is, do you feel some kind of vague, unclear difference, some faint difference in quality between the C sharp and the C? Actually, just thinking of the name of C sharp and thinking of the name C is a difference right there, even without even listening to it. But there's also other little vague differences that you might sense. But we don't try to sense it. We just know that there is a difference. Let's continue listening to this C sharp. Imagine the C sharp. Now play the C sharp. All right, now let's go back down to the C. Before playing the C, imagine it. Sing it. Now play the C. Listen to the C a little bit more. Whether you got it right or wrong is not important. We just continue by listening to the C. Feel that C. It feels like a C somehow. It's different than that C sharp. You just know that it is different. This is a C we're on now. Play it again. Listen. Now don't play anything and imagine that C. Now when we're imagining the C, you may sometimes find that your imagination might not want to cooperate. Maybe somehow that C sharp creeps in there, and you start thinking of that one again, and somehow you can't get down to that C. And later on when you're playing, maybe you've gone through four or five different notes, and some of the other notes that you just were listening to, they start creeping in your mind, and every note might creep in except for the one you want. Well, I think we've all had the experience of trying so hard to remember something that you can't remember it, but then when you let go, it comes naturally. So I think that same principle applies here. We have to get back to our principle of easiness. We don't try to remember the C, we just let it come naturally, and then it'll be there. Now what happens if it doesn't come there? Even though we relax and we still can't remember it, then we get down to the C using relative pitch. We get there any way possible, and if we really just cannot remember the C under any conditions, then we just play the C, and then we continue. See how simple it is? We don't try in any way as we're doing these little listening drills. It's just simplicity. So let's continue. We listen to that C. We imagine the C. And if while we're imagining that C, other notes start to come in and we can't really get it, then just play that C again real gently to remind us of what that C sounded like. And then continue imagining what that C sounds like. Now we play it again just to make sure that our imagination didn't go astray. And I'm sure you think, well, it couldn't have gone astray in just these few seconds, but it doesn't make any difference. We always end up by hearing that C after we've just imagined it, just to make sure that we were correct. Now we go up to D. We've already done C sharp. We go up to D. So we started at C, and we went up to C sharp. Then we went back down to C, and now we're going up to D. So we think of what the feeling of a D is. Feel it. Imagine what that sound would be. Go ahead. Now we play a D on our instrument and see if we were correct. Now we continue to listen to that D, play it again. Now we don't play anything and we just imagine the sound of the D. And now we play the D one more time. Now we will go back to C again. This is our bottom note drill. Each time we go back to the C, every other one that we study is a C. We're trying to drill this C into our ear, and every other note is a different note. We go C, C sharp, C, D, C, E flat, C, E. In a sense, we're comparing the C with every other note, every other color, but every other time we're studying the C. C sharp, C, D. We study just like this. And we always go up to the high C and treat that as a different note, even though it's the same color, because we want to make sure that the ear understands that this is the same color, just a different tint. And then we end up on the low C, a complete set of this bottom note drill. The ear is kind of more or less raw before we start the drill, and then when we get into it and we listen to all these colors, after you do it for a time, you'll start to notice that these flavors start to become very flavorful, and you start to really feel like you're becoming intimate with these tones here after just a few minutes. And then once we become flavorful, we feel like we really are into those tones, then after we practice the ear training, we practice our regular lessons or whatever we're studying. Maybe we're getting some songs together for a concert we're going to give or whatever. We always practice after the ear training because then that stabilizes what the ear was listening to. You opened up your ear by doing the ear training, and then you put it into practice by practicing. for at least a few minutes after ear training, because that will help greatly in stabilizing this whole thing. But see, the important point I'm trying to emphasize is the delicacy of these exercises. If you approach them the correct way, with the principle of easiness, then the result will be there. If you approach them wanting to hurry up and learn this, then it will not be there. I'm sure you're familiar with this principle now. I think you're seeing the reason why. Now let me show you another little few adaptations you can do here. We have the bottom note drill where we keep coming back to the bottom. But then later on, you'll study a C sharp and you do the same thing. Every time coming back to a C sharp. And we keep doing this on various days. We keep going to different notes and studying different tones. Now, when you come first thing in the morning to do your ear training, and you are going to study, let's say, your C, that's going to be your bottom tone. Think of what that C is. Imagine it. Don't touch a single tone, but imagine it. La, and sing it. And see if you're correct. Because you're studying the C, maybe for a day or two or three or four or five, so C, before you start your drill, if you can remember what that C is. Then later on, when you're studying a C sharp in your drills, before you start your playing, see if you can remember that C sharp. See, what we're doing is we're actually cultivating aural recall from the very start. So we're using a principle of learning the highest first, and then we've got all the things beneath of it. Because if you can remember it in your mind, you'll certainly know it when you hear it live on an instrument. Now, you can also have top drill, top note drill. You take that C and have the top note and just do it in reverse. Study C, then B, then C, then B flat. And we can keep going like that. Then, another thing you can do, which is extremely valuable, is do chords. You think C, E, G. Play it. And then imagine it. La, 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 like that. In your mind, hear it. Feel what that feels like, a C major triad. Then go up a half step and imagine what that C sharp sounds like. Play it to see if you were correct. Then imagine it again, each note individually, and then play it again. Then up to the D. You can do this with minor. You can do it with dominant seventh chords. Try this one. Do it with fourths. Up a half step. All various ways to get the ear to think about listening to these tones. We put them with different relationships. We might have a minor chord one time, a major chord another, diminished seventh. We keep putting these tones with different relationships, but we're always studying the individual tones, and you go slowly. When you're doing the chords like this, think them slowly in your mind. You pause on each one to make sure that color produces a kind of a flavor inside of you. Never worry if you're really hearing the flavor. Just feel that pitch, and then the flavor is there automatically. It's there if you've got the pitch. But go slowly. Then later on, hear the whole thing together in your mind. Just kind of like that. Kind of hear it quickly in your mind and get the whole feeling of the entire chord. And do some random sets also as you get proficient. Have a D, for example. Work on it. And then go up to a G sharp, a B, a C sharp. Go all around at random to test and see if you can imagine these notes and know what they are. And then as you go, start to prompt yourself less. That means don't check yourself as much, because you just know that you're singing and imagining the correct tones. You don't even need to check yourself. This kind of confidence will grow as you work the drills in this way, because pretty soon after some time, you're so sure that you've got the tone right that there's no need to check. If you have a doubt, then play the tone and reassure yourself or see if you've drifted from the pitch. But if you know it, then don't even check yourself. When you start to be able to hear a note mentally and you're sure that it is correct, then you know that you've really got it. These are little things you can do in order to get the ear to listen more and more closely. It's so simple. All we're really doing is slowly and methodically and easily listening to all these tones which go to make up all the music that we're doing. We're studying the very building blocks of all chords, which is the individual tones, and we're studying them in a very simple way. And the net result will be that as we continue, gradually these colors will become more and more clear, more and more vivid, so that when we hear that C, we immediately know it's a C because just being with it intimately. And then when we hear it in some other instrument, we start to feel, oh yes, that's that C. I remember thinking that C, and I remember feeling that C. That just feels like a C. It has that color of a C. This is perfect pitch.
This talk you've just heard was recorded years ago, but the techniques are classic for our perfect pitch ear training. Work with these techniques as you wish. Whenever you need a break from your usual ear training, these drills soothe and settle your ear. Before, as you were practicing your ear training meditation, were you doing it more on the surface level? Were you just singing the tone and then checking to make sure you got it correct? Many of us, as we continued our practices, we get into this habit of going quickly, and we get concerned only with if we're right or not. But here I wanted you to experience how you can pause and be with the tones, fully in the moment, like a meditation. When you practice this way without any feverishness to accomplish something, you find that your results are faster. And you'll also find that these techniques will be your master key for developing aural recall. That's why I had you do these right from the start. And that's why we've spent more time going into detail here at a nice leisurely pace. So play with these techniques. Use these techniques from time to time as you can, and I'll see you tomorrow for our next session.